Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we here.
I don't know. We still working out the voice. I'm looking at the meters. Anyway, welcome to the Anomaly Podcast, where we talk about social, political, and cultural events given at you at a high-grade perspective through the urban construct. Whatever the fuck that means.
I mean, he said it, but, you know, I'm here to just, you know, marry, you know, the historical context and, you know, with the society standards. I like to marry that, but then I also want to talk my shit about this pop culture and hip hop, and also my point of view on things, which I feel like it's pretty pertinent. Is that a good word?
Yeah, that's cool. And I'ma just you know, take the cat out the bag. In season one, the big joke was we didn't really know what, you know, I did for a job. It wasn't really working. I am involved in government and politics, specializing in election campaigns and community organizing, located in Brooklyn, New York, from local all the way to national government. And I give my take on policy, leadership, candidates, and overall try to give you a guidance on how to make your decisions and be responsible citizens,
right?
And especially being from, you know, being Black, West Indian American, being from Brooklyn,
right?
We definitely have, you know, a lot of barbershop talks and communities that we have open discussions where we don't necessarily agree with mainstream, you know, perspectives on things, primarily COVID vaccinations.
Nah, we're not with that.
Now, you know, not to jump the gun or anything, because before we even get into COVID, we got to talk about where the hell we've been for the past umpteen 11 months and all that. So, you know.
I mean, we took a short hiatus. You know, we had to get back to the drawing board. We wanted to kind of refocus what we really wanted to bring to this podcasting world. You know, a lot of life has been happening. A lot of things been going on. Things been moving. We just want to bring the best quality to you guys possible. And, you know, I know we stepped on a lot of toes on the previous episodes. But, it's the process.
You know,
it's part of the process.
Because ultimately, you know, everybody, the way that this country's set up, you know, everybody's got a stake and everybody's got an equal opportunity for the slice of the pie and whatnot. And so, we all got to find a way to agree to disagree. You know, everybody has their own freedoms and liberties to live their life how they want to with their own beliefs. Yeah. But we also still got to conduct ourselves with civility and, you know, be neighborly towards each other. And so, damn, this lost his train of thought. Oh, what I wanted to say is shout outs to Senior Spliffington and Just.
Yeah, big shout out to Just, you know, and Senior Spliffington.
Due to COVID reasons, you know, things, like I said, there's been a lot of stuff happening in between.
A lot of things happening.
So right now we just rocking in here, CP. No more D Duckett, y'all. Just regular old Danny.
I mean, you probably already knew his name from the amount of times that Jess used to call his name and just Danny. Yeah.
Yeah. As I said before, the bit wasn't really working it. So it's all good. Transparency is what, you know, that's the age we're living in right now.
That's where we are.
Facial recognition, just show your whole ass out there to open up access to things. And
They're also in China. They swabbing booty holes. So speaking about.
Swabbing
booty holes for COVID testing, man. That's what they're doing now. So don't go to China.
Nah, what's your sources?
Yo, don't worry
yo,
about
come
the
on,
sources,
yo.
Man.
Yo, yo, we just not gonna just be throwing out like booty hole searches, you know, we gonna table that.
So we gonna table that, but I'm gonna pull it up and let him know that you know the wealth of knowledge in his head is just so vast, it's just I can pull.
While you search for that booty swab, right now I feel like the Dark Knight, you know?
Okay.
From the last time we spoke, I was doing, you know, some work for a state representative, and later on, I actually joined a campaign to be the financial coordinator for the Andrew Yang presidential, the Andrew Yang Democratic nominee for the presidential election, and that was, you know, a really, like, life-changing experience. You know, like I said, I get a lot of value out of speaking to regular voters, constituents, people especially who never really participated in elections. And during the campaign, I got a great opportunity to speak with people who've never donated and having to let them know the rules and how the process goes. Mm-hmm. And just giving that information, building the trust, because you know this past election, federal campaign in 2020, this shit was crazy. Like I
didn't it get hacked again?
It got hacked, but like 2020 was just like 2020 was wild. If you ever, you know, we don't got to go through the whole thing. You could just go to Uncle Murder. He does a really good like synopsis of what happened. But yeah, just listen to
you
that
about the wrap up.
Yeah, bro, listen to that back to back and just, you know,
I mean,
use your imagination.
I hope he trolled me when he said that he wasn't gonna do no more, because he definitely said this was the last shit. It was hard.
Yo, Uncle Murder about to lead a game, bro.
Lead a game for what?
I almost left the game, bro.
True, but listen, on the bright side, we also want to talk about some proactive things. You know, in this time of COVID, in this time, this new norm that we're approaching, and you know how to kind of maintain and you know stay course to what you got to do. Want to talk about how the streets is calling you back?
Yeah, man. So let's get right into it, right? So, you know, normally what we do at the Anomaly Pod, we talk about some topics and try to relate it to you know the regular person who may or may not have the opportunity to really invest in what's happening locally. We always pay attention to what's going on nationally because they hack all of our attentions. And so
literally,
when it goes to the local elections, you know, people kind of go absent. So as I said before, I was telling you, I almost left the game. In my my experience with the election, it really just had me look at advocacy and try to, instead of spending a lot of time with networking and like, you know, pushing policy kind of like behind the scenes, I was very inspired to actually like do more things and engage with more people on different topics and so. Definitely with filling out the census, encouraging people to vote, and just, again, increasing engagement.
Yeah, he got me to vote, guys. I did vote.
It was kind of hard to do so because, like, during COVID, because, you know, this work is very personal, and it's very like face to face, and you know, with 6 feet apart in New York City,
unless you walk with a plexiglass,
it's kind of hard to increase voter engagement in this environment.
Kind of changed up the whole political atmosphere.
Yeah, so in the time, you know, I was a lot of differences. So, you know, in that adjustment, you know, just kind of like made me think. I like to think. I always think about the future. You know, I get caught up with what's gonna happen, what society's gonna look like, where are we going, where we've come from, and like, are we learning from our mistakes? And
what does it look like to you?
So I think like leadership is changing. The last we spoke about elections, you know, the Democratic Party had like 20 candidates for president, for the presidential nominee.
It was a lot.
So you know, long story short, Biden won. But New York City and the state of New York is it's going through a whole change. It's clearing house from the mayor to the local city electeds. Mm-hmm. You're getting everybody is term limited, meaning that they've served the maximum amount of consecutive terms and therefore cannot run for re-election. So we're getting a brand new mayor. We're getting pretty, like, 80% of the city council is getting replaced. And so the face of New York is changing. And we're in a really interesting time where we're trying to get out of a pandemic. And we've seen the chaos that inconsistent leadership from government can cause. The turmoil between ready at the public debacle, the little tennis match between de Blasio and Cuomo last year was just unnecessary. True. Everybody just swinging their meat, trying to say what's the better policy for the kids to go to school or not. Meanwhile, you have kids who come from different backgrounds in terms of households and what, you know, challenges they may or may not have. But to go remote means that you have to provide resources for those things.
Right.
What's the bandwidth in, you know, communities like East New York and stuff like that?
True.
Do they have high speed internet for like all those towers to be running on the same network? Things like that. Like,
you're ready for that government internet, high speed internet.
Exactly.
Like,
so
government cheese.
I mean, yeah, there's always stigma to like social welfare policies, but that's just, you know, it comes with the territory, unfortunately. The city is going through a whole new administration. And now, after having, you know, public or worldwide coverage and being presented as the leader during the COVID crisis, Cuomo went from hero to zero with just, you know, on top of hiding the reports, the amount of deaths in the nursing homes,
right.
He then had a number of women come out and accuse him of sexual assault.
Ah.
So now he's being encouraged.
Handsy. Come on.
All right. I support the women that have come out and put on notice the behaviors of this governor.
Okay.
I want to talk about this from, I guess, an abstract perspective, in terms of leadership. So we have Cuomo, who people from the political arena, really, despite how they feel about him, you cannot deny his political prowess. And he's very strategic and knows how to flex his power. And so after this would be his third term completing, next year he's up for re-election possibly, or to be determined for his fourth term.
Mm-hmm.
His father was governor,
right.
And he has a legacy in this thing.
Right.
Now, again, the way that he took charge during a global pandemic, that's a lot of grit, a lot of points in the hero bag.
They thought they was talking president talk with him.
Correct. And so...
But what's the difference? One handsy president to another handsy president? I mean, at this point, they're saying that everybody's handsy. What I want to just interject and just hold that point. Are we looking at this at the scope of the time?
Meaning?
We all know, as you know, time progressed, we all know from our right and wrongs. As we mature as a society and realize our old behaviors in the past that were kind of normalized and actually acceptable. I'm not saying it's okay what he did. I'm just saying from the scope, like, what scope are we looking at this from? I understand that the women came through with the accusations, because it's alleged. You don't know anything. We just know their side of the story, and then there's an investigation that needs to come through, and we'll get the final details from that. If he did these things, absolutely do away with him. But we have to understand the context. I feel like we forget the context of everything. I'm not saying that what he's doing is okay. What I'm saying is the context of the time. Because we all know that, people kiss on the cheek, people hug, but now if he's literally grabbing ass, you gotta go, my guy. There's no gray area. There's no, like, forget what the investigation say. If they point to you saying that you're grabbing ass, like it's a fucking basketball game and you're grabbing women's ass.
Clapping that roti skin, huh?
Just, like, Like, I don't know. Like, power do something to people.
Oh, nah, for sure. Power does something to people. And to go further, I think that's why, like, it's important to know the character of your representatives.
True.
So that you know, on a separate note, you just know when what's intentional, what's malicious, and what's appropriate according to their character.
And with this new facelift of New York, this is also shining a gleaming light where we actually have control into electing individuals that we want to speak on our behalf, correct?
Correct.
That's the point of trying to, you know, get people involved, but, you know, getting to know their public officials to try to get them to them voting. Because if you notice how crazy the voting turnouts for those elections be compared to, like, the national situation or, like, you know, statewide, you really believe that it's only, like, 25,000 people in that area and that's it? Is it sectioned off specifically for that? Like, I'm pretty sure in that area there's well more people that should be going out to vote than is being reported as actual counted votes. I feel like it's on a low side. Is it not? Because you did say, I mean, it's probably from off the pre-production conversation where, you know, mailing the ballots and the older folks are more prone to be to vote. You know, that's a good portion of the population, but there's younger populations that have no clue as to who's
voting. Well, yeah, of course, because, you know, primarily they may not really need to, unless they have a problem with the city. Hmm. So if a Generation Z owns property, they will most likely know who their local city council representatives are,
right?
Because of, you know, a sidewalk violation,
right,
a tree into their property, or something property related, right? Property taxes, something like that.
Yeah, see the letterhead.
Exactly. Okay. So,
so that's another chunk of people. Okay, I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, the time is now to inform. I mean, since we're here learning, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, has to take initiative, especially in this time where it's going to start affecting us even more, because, you know, we're going to get older, and then these policies is going to trickle down to us and then to our, you know, kids.
I think about the impact of an administration, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, like, you know, coming of age and politics and things like that, you really just, like, get to learn, like, the effects that these decisions have and what the agenda of a candidate does matter. You know, like, de Blasio, he was really coming off of, well, de Blasio's agenda was pretty progressive in that he promised to deliver a form of childcare, guys under 3K, pre-kindergarten, to provide access for all, because there were, before that, it was only allotted to families that could afford that kind of care. Mm-hmm. Before then, children 3 years old really didn't have a place to learn publicly. There was, unless you had a private fund, you know, you only go to pre-K. So they call it 3K, 3K for all, right?
Wow.
And on top of that, he wanted to make the streets safer to reduce the amount of pedestrian deaths due to car crashes. But also
25 an hour and speaking, right?
Yeah. But also, the administration prior to that had a bad rep with stop and frisk. And de Blasio came with, you know, facilitating the relationships between the community within the police. So I say all that to say, you know,
what did it do with that? Because I know that the police do not like de Blasio.
Again, due to our long hiatus, we're just going to have to reference the 2020 things like as they come. Know what I mean? Like, that's just what we got to do. So, yeah, like, you can say that definitely the police relations with the community has not changed. And
so let me get this straight. De Blasio, what I get, this is from experience. Right there on Rutland Road. We're about to get real geographically right
all
there,
right.
Guys. I forgot what, I think it's one of those police engagement with the community type of deals. Mind you, there's like three cop cars is always by the plaza by Bravo. All
okay.
The time.
One of those spots.
But yet, they did a block party blocking off Rutland Road. And they had police officers everywhere engaging with, you know, the neighborhoods in a pretty notorious strip. The engagement should start when they're actually parked up on a corner, you know, normally throughout the year. But they wait till the day to then bring out everybody from the precinct, and then not even everybody, a couple sergeants, white shirts, you know, to give out Capri Suns to the community, you know, more processed food, you know. I just, it's more than, because the presence is known. We already know the presence is in that area. What are you doing to build? Culturally, in that area, it's frowned upon to even interact. But you did see some older, you know, the older, you know, older neighbors and, you know, interacting with the police officers just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the real relationship needs to be built from when they're young children.
Well, yeah, they have like the police athletic.
Is that still going on?
Yeah, it's still going on.
Back in the days, I used to go to the PAL.
Uh-huh. Oh. Oh.
I didn't sign up for nothing. I just go there to ball.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
So you wanted to be a cop?
Nah, not a cop.
You the Blue Lives captain?
No.
Okay. Now I know where you stand on that issue.
Nah.
So you was, you don't want to defund the police? I'm fucking with you. But yeah, so I think that it's very important to really understand like what you're getting in a candidate for representation, whether it be city council, mayor, or whatever. And so with considering all these issues that are happening and the failures and successes of previous administrations, you know, I'd hope that this wave of candidacy would have had more innovations, but I just don't necessarily see the vision of some candidates in terms of the future of representation, meaning how can communities get more involved with their elected officials?
Younger or older?
What do we expect from them? You know, this past, damn, I hate referring to the election, but
that's what's recent.
You know, you could say for the first time that we had like two brand new registered voters with the, you know, and they were Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
You know, they really had an opinion on decisions, people's opinions on candidates. And
the
so
fact checkers.
It brings another level to leadership and democracy, especially what we expect now. Before, we never really like knew about the lives of elected officials. But now we have social media, we kind of like have an expectation. So is that what we expect from our elected officials? They have to be the perfect family person, know all the people in the community, be at all the high school events.
I
like,
will say that.
That's kind of like,
I'm probably,
like, what about the world? You know what I mean? Like,
I'll probably plug in the app. But CoStar told me to do that. To go ahead and post something. Do it. Do it. Whatever you want to do, do it.
Okay.
To go out there and post your life. Why is a fucking app telling me to subscribe to this social media?
Well, because that's the world that we live in. If you don't create content, you're not alive.
I'm not.
But you are.
I don't take great pictures.
Well, yo, there's literally no excuse. There's
yes,
something.
There is.
There's no excuse. Yo, just flicking through, I see stuff that like give you advice on how to take pictures if you're not photogenic.
bruh, I'm not following those pages.
Yeah, exactly. You're not looking. It's there. It's all there. But anyway, I digress. So we're getting to the part of the show where we're dropping gems on how to help guide you in terms of, you know, how to navigate through this whole thing. Growing up in Brooklyn, I kind of got a sense of the vibe of the communities, what they value, especially working with them closely within the various reins of government. You know, I just know what people care about. And so I'm gonna just give you the rundown on what's happening with, you know, what matters and what doesn't matter. Okay. So let's see. So first, what's going on with Cuomo, right? Some people say that there's a poll that was taken and about, like, say 40% or so, 47% of New Yorkers don't necessarily think that Cuomo should step down from governorship. However, an overwhelming majority, say about 60%, do believe that he should not run for re-election. Now, I think at this present moment, I think that's a fair compromise, because in the past, with Al Franken, they cut his ass immediately. Mm-hmm. And in the time, it kind of felt a little performative because Trump was just getting called out for all these outrageous things, grabbing pussy, talking about all, you know, when you're rich, you can do whatever you want to do, and just having no accountability for anything. And so the Democrats felt that they had to bring some kind of dignity to it, because honestly, I've never seen government so compromised before in my life. Like,
this is, you can say
this was wild. Like, look at the Capitol. Like, yo, the fucking Confederate flag made it to the Capitol, bro. It never happened. Yo,
I mean, it's not far-fetched. No, because to me, they had him hung up at stakes.
Yo, they didn't. Yo, the Confederate flag never made it to the Capitol during the Civil fucking War, bro.
Oh, we got there.
Understand this. Physically, during a war, but
they
didn't.
They had officials who represent their values in those same very.
Okay,
worlds.
Now you're talking.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We know what a flag does and what it represents. But they it might have not made it physically in the Capitol building as of, you know, obviously January 6th, but before then. But they definitely had elected officials that were pushing that agenda like no other.
Okay. Well, as we see what's happening, and, you know, we're going to get into other topics, but, you know, with what's going on outside of New York in terms of Georgia, the state lawmaker, forget his sister's name, like getting arrested, knocking on the door. And we just saw some atrocities take place.
What's his name, Kemp?
Yeah, Governor Kemp, but I forget the black woman's assembly woman's name. But we're going to find that out in a second. But yeah, man, to see her get arrested, it's like, you know, our sisters, they got to go through law school, all these hoops to be heard, to be reduced by someone who took a general admission test. You know what I mean? Like, think about that.
That's it.
Like, this sister graduated college, went to law school, had to climb up the ranks to get elected to represent her community.
Did the work.
Simply wanted to see the governor sign the bill in public, which is, that's not outrageous. Actually, all bills get signed in public. So for them to do it behind closed doors.
Her name is Park, Democratic State Representative Park Cannon, on Thursday. She knocked on the Republican Governor Brian Kemp's state house office as he signed a controversial elections bill into law in a closed door ceremony, which is kind of sus.
Exactly.
You know, this is as per NBC News, of course, but yo, this is real Jim Crow-y. But this whole voting, you know, voting law that they pushing. Do you still agree with the standard where it stands today that it allows it to be state-ran? Like, do you believe there should be a blanket rule set, or do you agree with how it's being ran? Like, how do we stop this? How does one, like a Georgia citizen, stop like situation like that? Because it's a closed door. Like, it looks like it was under the hush-hush. Nothing was really conveyed to the public because it was only one representative there.
Well, it's just like you said, you know, there the Confederate flags have complicitly snuck into the state houses. And so
but they've been sitting there for
when
a few
those
years.
Pillars are there, mm-hmm. a motherfucker who took, you know, who got 50 points of spelling his name right on a test can demean, you know, an upright citizen under some cuffs off some bullshit.
And it'd be these motherfuckers that went to school back in them days when they paying for tuition for $200. Nah, on some real shit, they gotta pay some bread up. Because I know they made a lot of money since then, and I know for a fact they hold the rate. So they need to, like, call for some bread, because we pay mad bread for some high-level education. From what I'm understanding, y'all got credit for showing up. I'm just saying, man.
Call a spade a spade.
That's a fact.
So I think that, you know, taking it back to New York, I think we should see what happens with this independent review and just see where the state is going forward. You know, like, I don't know who else could run for governor, and I definitely think that Cuomo should serve some kind of accountability. In addition to that, whoever replaces, you know, whoever is the governor in after the results of the 2022 election, you know, I'd hope that infrastructure, education, and job creation.
This is the guy who Stacey Abrams went up against,
correct? And they did some fugazi voting shit before. So, yeah.
I feel like that's what turns people off about politics.
Nah, but look, I understand where you're going with that, but you also got to see, before that, Georgia had a historic win in getting a Democrat-turned House.
That is true.
And that was pivotal in this current situation now with the Biden administration. And that's why we had this 50-50 gridlock in this CARES Act.
This voting act would kind of negate that, essentially.
Negate what?
The fact that it's blue.
Not necessarily. It won't negate it. It'll just make it harder. Okay. Because what it targets is primarily black people. Black people. No voting on Sundays. You can't provide water. You know what I mean? Like, think about the long, the voting lines. You know, I was flicking through my old pictures. The voting lines were crazy. Yeah. People,
that's
know,
a good thing. I like to see that, honestly. It just takes
to do the early voting and everything like that.
It looks good.
Also to let you guys know what's happening with you guys, New York City especially. In this election, this primary, June 22nd, there's gonna be a new way to vote. It's called ranked choice voting. We're actually gonna do an episode to like go into the nitty gritty of that in the future. But just a quick brief explanation. Ranked choice voting ranked choice voting works like this. Instead of just casting one vote for one person, say you have a race where you kind of like more than one candidate, but maybe you like one candidate more than the other. You have a ranked choice voting where you can cast three votes for one office. That way, it's given as a point system. So, for example, your first vote gets 5 points. Your second vote gets 3 points. The person that you have voted in the third rank gets 1 point. The points get tallied, and if there's a tiebreaker, then it's counted as whoever received the most second place points, and it goes on like that. That way, there's no kind of like lesser evil ideology with the voter. Right. You can vote for who you want more. So let's take it to 2016. Say you felt that either or Hillary or Trump would have, let's not even go back, let's take it to 2020. If you felt like either way, the government was shitty, COVID's fake, whatever your reservations were, you could have still voted. Say you feel less hatred against Biden, so he gets your number one vote, and so on and so forth. That way, even as candidates, there's less of that smear campaign, because regardless of what, if I'm running against you, I could talk all the shit, I want. People are still going to vote. You're still going to get points off, you know what I mean? Like, off of other people's opinions and an opportunity to, like, even out the votes. So that's what's happening. That's what's happening this year. And we'll get, again, we'll get more into the nitty gritty because some districts running for city council have more than one candidates.
I get it.
And then we'll talk about more about their policies. And again, their agenda and where they see the city, where they see the recovery, not only the recovery, the sustainability. One thing that I've ventured, I got a chance to really identify with essential workers in, you know, doing a DoorDash hustle. And while I thought like during lockdown, the streets would be a lot easier to navigate through, you know, I'm noticing like a lot of changes. People aren't riding buses that often.
No.
You know, the infrastructure of the city just needs to be upgraded. And we do have bodies addressing that. But, you know, it needs to be on more of a mainstream front. Listen,
this capitalistic world we live in, man, they don't give a fuck.
Well, we have to make them give a fuck. So, you know, moving on to the next topic here. You know, we have the city council races. We have... oh shit, that was actually like the whole list. We got some of the candidates and whatnot. And I guess we could go more into the candidates now. I don't want to smear anybody, Bill. Because right now, Andrew Yang's like in the lead, but there's a bunch of articles, some articles that talk about his authenticity.
I've seen Andrew Yang.
He's getting a lot of money for funding. He's getting a lot of funding.
See?
And apparently that means something, you know? Well, actually not apparently. It really does mean, you know, you get a lot of support. Although people still have to show up on the primaries.
True.
But you think typically
you think
funding,
he has a good push? He has a good chance? Or who are you looking for besides yourself, of course?
I mean, I definitely would like to vote for myself in this, but I just don't have the framework set up to run for it. But I still, you know, I want the city to win. And I am invested in, you know, the quality of the candidates. You know, I did back Andrew Yang for the presidency, and
Yang.
While some of my colleagues may have looked at it at the time, I was kind of criticized because he was brand new. He didn't really have any, you know, he didn't really prove himself through any tests. He didn't run through any gauntlet. He got a lot of accolades from running a nonprofit and getting acknowledged by President Obama. And so through some podcasts, you know, he's used some like keywords to kind of like get the things buzzing, the algorithms and whatnot. And so what I liked about his ideas was that, you know, definitely the universal basic income where you get everyone gets $1,000 a month just off of, you know,
being a
stuff.
Citizen.
I think in the whole aspect of it, the direction he was going was very necessary considering the times. He was the only candidate at the time discussing tech and taxing tech companies
for our data.
For the data that we, you know, involuntarily give.
Right.
And with a lot of discussions between other ideologies within the Democratic Party, i.e. Bernie Sanders, AOC and such, I think that these issues can exist, or solutions to these issues can exist on the same plane. Like, we can address healthcare and also address employment and you know, value of work available.
Right.
We can address education and Social Security at the same time. Like, these are all safety nets that...
Are they trying to do away with Social Security then?
Well, it's definitely, you know, the funding for it is going thinner and thinner. But that's a whole, like... thing in and of its own, because it will definitely not provide the same safety net as it does when we get older, as it did for our grandparents. But yeah, so I think right now we kind of got heavy on the issues and whatnot. Kind of want to like decompress a little bit and right. Just like, you know, talk about some shit that's going on. You know, in the streets.
What you trying to hear about? What they talking about in the social media streets, or in our personal lives.
Yeah, in the culture, bro. Like, what's going on with the culture, man?
What's going on? What are we doing? Everybody talking about Lil Nas X.
Oh.
But I'm not talking about that. We already know the vibes, what that is. Quavo and Saweetie situation, wow. Which I guess TMZ... It'd be TMZ all the time.
Son. They be right there.
If you in the camera, just know that TMZ is going to put them little chords in the beginning, like doom-doom-doom, and then don't drop your vid. And it's going to hurt your image one way or another. How do you think? Did you see the video at all?
I saw the video. And
what's your take on it?
It's crazy. You know, honestly...
They were goals at one point.
Men gotta stop this, like, aggression.
Okay.
You know, it's a thing that we do when we get angry,
mm-hmm.
when we feel that emotion, mm-hmm. our reaction is to get aggressive.
So everybody gotta be like Jay-Z.
And we escalate the situation, you know what I mean? Even if we don't say anything, our body language escalates it. You know, we don't really take charge of the situation, take charge of our own accountability of emotions and really assess the situation. Now, when I first saw it, I immediately got scared because I'm like, oh shit. Yo, anytime TMZ pulled up in an elevator, you know something crazy about the hill. Name one positive thing that happened from the fucking elevator camera. You don't see no happiness from the elevator camera.
That Ray Rice shit was crazy.
Son, and that's what I was afraid of. I was like, yo, I'm about to see this shit again. So when I saw it, it wasn't as bad as I imagined it.
Right. From initially, you know,
seeing from it, like everything else, I was like, oh shit.
And all of this.
Activity. And then they broke up and everything.
Right.
But it looked like.
But you know, Migos put paws on old boy though.
It just looked like it was something. It was something. I want to know more about, like what, yeah, like what broke them up. I want to know what that was, because I can hear the criticism now, yo. I saw Sweetie punch him. I saw him swing. And then I also saw him, like, push her, like, take the bag, kind of stay on top of her. And it seemed like, once the altercations kind of subsided, he tried to, like, you know, reconnect. And it looked like they went to another floor. Somebody was trying to take the elevator. And then that shit was weird. And she looked like, yo, she was done. She got touched. Mm. She didn't want to, you know what I mean? She was like, fuck it. Like, I don't feel safe.
All right. We're going to have to dot
line. And we're going to have to talk about this. Like, yo, we're going to have to know.
So.
Like, not to pass judgment, but just for the culture. Like, yo, we concerned. They was gold. Just the other day.
Yeah, they were.
The Birkin bag was the standard, yeah, yo.
The whole Birkin talk.
Yo. I want my money back.
That's sticky.
Nah, son.
Listen.
The Birkin exists as long as the relationship.
True, but, you know, it's a gift.
That fat is gone already, son. You can't even use a Birkin no more.
It's a gift.
Son, you can't even use the Birkin no more.
But this is what I say. On both sides.
It's not a gift. That's a souvenir, son. I feel like, yo.
Nah, that's a gift because she got multiples.
I thought it was a souvenir. Like, yo, what's
multiples.
What
this nigga got for some shit. He got mad bread.
Yo, we cutting that part out anyway, so.
It's fine, but listen. What I really do feel like is, like, yeah, you touched on it. We men, we have to understand how we respond to things. As I'm getting older, I'm understanding it's how we respond to things. It's where we can actually see our trajectory in these situations. But this also goes for women as well. I don't want to focus only on the men, because you know that men can be the aggressor. But Not in this situation.
Yo, in this situation, yeah. it was hard to tell because, like, okay, comparing it to other situations, like the Ray Rice situation.
I mean, he flew back
when
she hit him.
Yeah.
She flew back.
The Ray Rice incident.
Nah, that's different. He a football
player. The Kareem Hunt incident.
Those are football players.
Yeah, those CTEs. Are football players and whatnot. Come on. You know, but it you can tell that Quavo was looking to, like, you know. You know, well, you know, you yeah, you're trying to console, and you know she wasn't having it. So it's like, all right, well, Okay, you need it's more hard. Context. Yeah, you need more context. I'm just spectating from the outside looking in. And I want to know because, like, especially when she show up on a show and then one of the hosts get touched up.
Yeah, boop.
And it's like, yo, like we just heard about you, bro.
We just
like seen you on TV.
He had to get touched.
And then you got touched up immediately.
They saying that he was adding spice to the whole thing.
But like
he added a couple more spice. They say that, you know, he's toxic or whatever, and his content is kind of on that kind of wave. But
I gotta see his lives.
I haven't, but they said that he kind of went in on the whole fact that they broke up and the fact that, you know, she beautiful. Like he tried to holler. Like he was going in on that live kind of.
But that was his co-host ex though. I thought he's cool.
Come on, this industry is disgusting, man. Everybody lust after everybody's fixes.
Nah, I don't do that sloppy second.
Nah, we ain't with that work. I'm from a different club. And I don't even look at nobody work.
Yeah, man, like. I don't know. I see shit like that, and I just think. I think it's best to go back to the internet how it used to be, where people didn't share too much.
That's gone.
You know.
Unless you fucking like Kendrick. Like,
well, unless you, a Joe Budden, where you know.
I think
you,
some scraps in.
You're doing some reality shit, and that's like part of your thing.
Your thing.
But, I mean. They're the trendsetters, so, in everyday life, like. Just
fucked up.
Yeah, man. Just keep that shit private.
All right. Let's see. What else is going on?
Yo, so you was talking about like us men, and you know, they don't want to focus too much on the men.
Yeah.
Chastising them.
Yeah.
You started sounding a little preachy to me. Sounding a little Derek Jackson-y to me.
Nah, I ain't no Derek Jackson. Don't do that to me. That guy's a hypocrite. What I'm just saying is, everybody's held accountable for their own actions and reactions.
What do you think's gonna happen? Like, he just came out with some music.
If it slaps, keep it pushing.
I don't know, son.
I know this cancel culture is
bro, Tory Lanez is not. Tory Lanez ain't recover.
The numbers don't say that. The numbers don't suggest that. This is the culture that we in. They like the salacious shit. Any press is good press for anything that you're doing.
Wow.
Kanye, how many years ago was crying broke? And now that man's rich as hell. Well, he gonna have to divvy that up during his divorce, though. But I did hear that they did have a prenup. So it wasn't really based off love anyway. I said it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're dealing with two entities with a lot of money, I mean, get it. Yeah. But you're putting a contract on your love. Ah.
True.
Oh,
true.
Oh. It's like, all right, if we don't work out, you're not getting it.
Yeah, how do you have that conversation? Like, I'm so in love with you now, but
I just
in
this make sure
alternative reality where it doesn't work, I hate you and I don't want to share shit.
Just as
you.
The relationship ended, the show ended. Ain't no more keeping up the Kardashians. What are they going to do? TikTok? What are they going to do?
Yo, speaking of TikTok, man, you saw that shit on Jimmy Fallon, that, like, girl.
Oh,
appropriating TikTok dances.
Listen, they need to hurry up and get everybody onto this NFT right now so we can cash in for everything that these people have been stealing from us. The appropriation is real. It's real. It's a real art. It's an art. It's a true art. It's cunning. It's kind of a slap in the face. But you want exposure? It's like pick and choose. Red pill, blue pill. Pick one.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with the consequences, but listen, now what's going to happen is, yeah, they put that young lady at the top with Jimmy Fallon, she's showing her face. The true originators of those dance moves are going to probably break through. It's like right now in the beginning stages of this podcast, we're not so gung-ho jumping right into the social media world to throw our face on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the hesitancy behind, you know, these situations as well. Because these are normal, regular people. They're not public figures. They're not used to attention and used to these, your phone going off every 2 seconds for something. Listen, it is what it is. You just got, like, it's not about, they say that sometimes talent don't do it all, son.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the people that know how to do it could do it. That's Joe. I'm going to give him that. He said that. But that was real to me. That resonated with me when he was like, yo, yeah, you can have all the talent in this world, you can have it, but if you don't know how to get through, makes no fucking point.
Yeah, because people who know how to get through have less talent.
Less talent, and they get it off.
Yeah.
They know how to get the job done.
So, yeah, I mean, that in itself is a skill.
That is a skill. But what else? Yeah, I wasn't trying to get too preachy with the whole... I just felt like sometimes females gotta understand not to put hand, like keep your hands to yourself, man. As much as you're mad, as much you're infuriated,
yeah,
you have the law protecting you. You already have that in your back pocket.
I mean, I don't even. I know what I grew up being taught. And then I also know that not everybody grew up under the rules that, you know, I grew up under.
True.
And
true.
I think just above everybody's all else,
morals and values are different, yeah.
Above all else, don't ever put yourself in a position where you have to rely or it's very imperative or like the turning point is in someone else's command, you know?
Right.
So, like, you should always be able to govern yourself, always be in charge of your actions, and be aware of your consequences. So, like...
You don't know who's watching.
Like, while I definitely, like, don't promote, like, women... Like, you know, outside of self-defense, definitely put the hands, feet, shoulders, knees, everything. And toes on it.
Bite them.
But, you know, take it away from the sweetie incident.
Right.
You know, in cases where, you know, people have let it, like, you know, women let it fly and stuff, I would definitely, you know, encourage, like, to keep your hands to yourself. But more importantly, for the men, just like, yo, just don't do it. Walk away. Walk away. You know what I mean? All the time. Take a breath. Step back. Step the fuck back. Turn around and run.
Run
to the next wall. You know what I mean? And get a grip. Because it's just...
Downhill
from it's just time we stop that shit, you know, like,
because low-key that's evidence of assault,
and it's just like that should not be the way to resolve things. Like,
when as it ever is, unless you're a fucking MMA fighter,
we gotta evolve and use our words, and
words work,
you know,
words have meaning,
especially in the case of like Quavo and stuff. Like, they talk about like shooting niggas and shit like that, but y'all putting hands on women, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, that's not masculine. That's not cool.
The example you want to set.
Yeah.
That's not boss moves.
You know? And it's like, yo, when that shit's on camera, that shit don't ever go away.
Stuck.
You know what I mean? Shit gonna come back. But...
there goes some deals.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what else is going on in this pop culture world, man?
Yeah, so this like vaccine situation is going on, man.
Facts.
I think that, you know, I'm reading some articles and trying to figure out what's going on with the vaccines. They're talking about cases going up and how it's alarmed. So I checked it in. I tried to look in deeper, and I saw that while cases are going up, the mortality rate is going down.
Okay.
And I know some people who've gotten vaccinated already, and you know, they feel like they got the star power in Mario, you know what I mean? Like, they're invincible, and more power to you. But it just seems like, you know, they're revisiting the herd immunity theory that was once upon a time, like, you know, so taboo and not the desired method to get over this. So I've noticed that in my conversations, in my personal life, I've come into contact with people who are a little skeptical about it. And some people are turning their opinions on it. And I'm reading it, and I'm seeing that, you know, they're really trying to create incentives to take the vaccines. Krispy Kreme's out there giving you donuts.
Oh, nah.
I mean, you know, one would argue, how about, like, some membership so that I could take care of my health and beat this. But in Jamaica, they have a deal where they're giving seniors $10,000 to take a shot.
U.S.?
I mean, yo, 10,000 anything, I'll take.
I mean, 10,000 Jamaican ain't shit.
I mean, okay, what can 10,000 Jamaican get you?
10,000 is dead ass $10.
All right. I have to look at it again. I doubt they're giving you $10 for a shot. But that's something. Right? Yo, that's something. Trading is... But like, look at it. They need, all right. The issue that's happening within the black community, let's call a spade, is the historical racism against these testings. I don't want to take something and come to find out it was a placebo. I don't want, no. Tell me that, like, I'm doing this thing thinking I'm getting a damn, you know, the actual vaccine. Don't tell me 10 years later that I didn't. And I was out there risking my ass, you know what I mean? Like, because I believed. If that's the case then I should have continued traversing the world without the vaccine because I believe that I'm healthy and good. I'm good.
Yep.
Power of positivity.
Right.
So I think, you know, with all the needs within our community, this is a perfect time to push the envelope in the discussion on some of the things that we need. Now, what do we need? It's an endless list.
My
and
man.
Everything is, you know, subjective. It's not...
My man. I'm not trading my life for no Krispy Kreme donut, bro. I sound crazy, right?
Yo.
But guess what?
It's not just one. It's one for every day for the rest of the year.
I'm good. Because...
Yo, it's a Krispy Kreme. Yo, it's not a regular glazed donut. Yo, Dunkin' Donuts shit don't crisp like that, bro.
Nah, and they don't... They shit ain't warm. Like how they... It be warm. But I don't know, man. I feel like the hyper sense of the marketing that it's taking place in, and I feel like they're using our tax dollars or whatever resource they're using to really push this. I want to put quotes on the vaccine because, like I said, they didn't isolate this disease from the blood itself, which causes me to question the fact that they're calling it a vaccine. Usually vaccines are a series of shots at a young age, or a one shot, one deal, that's it. The fact that this is new and innovative and it's such modern technology, yet we still need boosters. You know, I find that I don't think that, like, that theory matches. If you really had all the, you know, the nuts and bolts together, I don't really think these booster shots, all of these, you know, new studies on the fact, you know, I'm waiting on that study that you did show me the other day about from Vice News about the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what the country.
50,000 people.
Yeah, and had them partying like it was 1999. Like,
so they took the, was it the PCI? PCR?
Yeah, the PCR.
The PCR test and came up negative.
Right.
And then they stayed in pods, but essentially went to this music festival, drank, partied, no one had COVID, and so the studies are coming out soon to see what the rates were and what, you know, what the status of the health is.
When is that coming out?
In April.
Okay. I mean, I'm skeptical. I'm just skeptical. I mean, listen, me personally, I lost my mom to cancer. She never smoked, never drank. I mean, when she did drink, she used to get drunk off one beer. So, mm-hmm. Just to give you the scope of the type of person she is. And to lose her to pancreatic cancer, a cancer that a lot of Americans is actually battling and losing the fight. Where is that aggression to find the cure to that? I understand, we all know, chemotherapy is what keeps oncology running. That department is ran through PET scans and chemo and different cocktails of different poisons that they mixing together. But here it is. Flu-like symptoms is taking people out at an alarming rate. Yes.
I mean, it's not just the flu-like symptoms. It's the contagious rate. And it's they don't know exactly. Well, the mask can, like, slow it down, but it just spreads so rapidly, and it could debilitate the healthcare system.
Yeah, that's where I would say that Macho Man, mm-hmm. our life is better. that part.
Comparatively speaking.
Right.
You're garbage.
Yeah. But nah, but for real though, I don't know, man. It's too quick for my liking, to be honest with you. I mean, they drove it in my brain. I'll never forget that part of class of discussing how things get passed through the FDA. I think health class touched on it. I think they touched on it in some sort of science class. And then some biology class. You know, they talk about it throughout our educational curriculum, like life. And they're throwing it out the window. Initially, I'm talking about initially, to get these things passed by the FDA or whatever the emergency use authorization business is. But initially, the testing group wasn't that vast.
Hmm.
It was around 43,000 people, correct? And I'm sorry, that's not enough to test, to gauge the whole world population on how to combat this thing.
Hmm.
You understand? There were also some more reports about 2 days ago about how the AstraZeneca, which they use, that's the actual company they use to pass the emergency use authorization off of their findings. They're finding out that their data is 10 years old or a few decades old. So yes, all of the research, all of these years, but here it is, we come to find out that we're still short end of the stick. So what is modern medicine? Are we now leaving our lives in our hands to science when science is starting to be manipulated or has been manipulated by corporations? You understand? That's where I feel like a good majority of people is looking at, not only because of what they did in the past with Tuskegee, that part. I do feel like there's some apprehension there because not a lot of information is out. You know, we need to be informed, fully informed, before we make any type of decisions of what we want to put in our bodies. And I feel like them pushing the agenda on, you know, just processing so many different COVID vaccines out there, you know, I just feel like there's a high area of, you know, errors to happen. You know, just like we just watched about Johnson & Johnson,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, there were some issues with a specific facility that's creating the vaccines that facility itself did not pass the FDA. So now you're gonna find yourself with tainted vaccine somewhere.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, we can't, and I kind of felt like that. Once you mass produce anything, just like in cars, we never know we're buying a lemon.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you mass produce, your error ratio increases. And especially, we don't have the full grip of knowledge. They're saying that there's multiple variants of this disease.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Yeah, its mutation rate is unknown.
So, if that's unknown, but then I'm supposed to trust the outdated science used to push this in my arm, literally?
See, my understanding gap lies with, you know, okay, my understanding gap in the skepticism and the confidence within the vaccine lies between, you know, the argument that, or the fact that they've been studying this disease for a while and they've, you know, had this information and everything like that. But
why didn't they reveal it then?
But the mutations are still unknown.
Still unknown.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you like the variants in South Africa and the
UK.
The UK one, like the vaccines, they're still unknown if the efficacy rate of the vaccines are still unknown to those other strands. And the thing is that they're going to have more mutations. They still don't know its infection rate. There's like, if you know all this stuff about COVID-19, then what about its mutations?
Right.
You know?
I feel like that's one thing that's left out of the conversation.
Like, for you to do the mRNA, then where exactly does the mutation happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, which spike does the mutation exist? Is it that it could mutate from any one of them?
In my opinion, because it's all different, they express different symptoms with each variant, some severe than most. It's not the spike. In my opinion.
Hmm.
How else does a variant attach themselves to
a new, like, especially a vaccinated, they said about 2 people reported in Washington pass away after receiving the COVID vaccine. We're not sure. I gotta do more research on it, but there is that number as well, because they came in contact, because there is the variant in this country. It's expressed in a couple states. So it's here. So now, with the vaccine rolling out, how much is it really going to save? You're still going to contract it. From what I understand, I took the polio vaccine when I was younger to never get polio. You're never going to get polio. You're calling it a vaccine, but I'm still going to be able to get it. As time progresses, as these days progress, these things are mutating. But I'm supposed to trust the single dose or whatever the case is. Man, I'm going to wait. There's too many sneakers out there that I like. I don't even like them sneakers, but it's too much options.
I feel you. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of people lie. It's just, you know, I want to make sure that I know exactly what I'm getting into with the people that have taken it already, as opposed to...
It's a little gang.
As opposed to, like, okay, we have the control within the blacks and see, like, you know what I mean? Like, what their effects are.
I just hope that this test that comes through this... Yo, I feel sorry for those individuals as they feel like they're trying to, you know, be safe for their families. In a sick, twisted... It's like, I mean, 2020 was like a movie. What's stopping this whole situation from turning into a situation where the vaccine doesn't work? Just like the flu shot didn't work? Who says that this doesn't work? They're saying that, yo, I don't want to hear efficacy anymore, because that is a ploy used for us and media to present these things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
Fauci even said it. He said it. That doesn't mean, like, Johnson at one point was 50%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What is it? Once it's nothing concrete, nothing straightforward. Fauci changes every day. Every day he says something different. It's the uncertainty, and I feel like because of the past president, you know, with Trump, everybody don't trust nothing. They don't trust this fake news thing.
Yes.
Took a life of its own, and it's running through everything. Now we got a fact checker. Who the fact checker? Bill Gates?
Yo, the analysts.
Who are they?
Nerds.
Who are they?
The nerds.
Where did I get that job?
You wouldn't know. You was too busy being cool.
Where?
In school.
You too.
Oh, exactly. That's why we don't got the vaccine.
Listen, I'm sure they don't got it either.
You think so?
Yep.
You think it's because the CEO of Pfizer ain't take it?
He don't got his own shit. He ain't smoking his own supply, bro.
Yo, that's rule number one.
Don't get high off your own supply.
Exactly.
But kill off everybody.
Yo, that's the name of the game. You know,
that's the game. So, for some Krispy Kreme donuts, some shiny ass, beautiful, when warm, donuts. For some warm liquid from Johnson & Johnson, some bath lukewarm ass vaccine to get in my arm, you'll feel sick as soon as it...
Yeah, that's gonna feel like a public pool in the summertime.
That's what I'm
get this shit out of me!
This shit's in your body. You are trying to flush it out. Nope, it's in your blood. Ew. It's in you forever. Now, who knows, they put a look... This is what people probably thinking. A fucking antigen type shit is happening. They hit you with the shot, your body's alive, and it's also some click shit. You gotta keep on jolting yourself to stay alive. And I'm like, nah, you gotta get that booster, boy. If you don't, your levels is dropping. You need this amount of COVID vaccine in your blood. Yo, I can see it. I can see it. They already saying goodbye to HIPAA. New York over here trying to drop a damn passport for COVID.
Yeah, that's...
Boy.
Nah, that's crazy, man. Like...
I think they jump in the gun with that.
So if niggas could take a freaking plane all over the country, bro, like, why can't we go back overseas, bro? Come on, man. Come on, son. Like, yo, come on. Yo.
Mexico been wilding, though.
Mexico been wilding?
There is a report. Mexico is another country. You can't trust their news either. They have not been reporting. It's not an accurate number of deaths. And actually, like, it's a big thing because obviously people love going to Tulum. Keep going to Tulum. It's going to be your doom. Nah, for real. No talk. People living out there in Mexico. People living out there because they stamping your visa for 6 months.
Yeah.
And people staying out there.
Working from home, yeah.
Yeah, but numbers is on the rise over there as well. Yeah. That they're not reporting because tourism is booming right now.
Get your money, man. This is the pandemic.
Pandemic for real, but...
Many ways to get it.
I mean, listen. Just be safe. You still gotta wear your mask anyway.
Yeah, of course. That's the thing. It's like, if I'm gonna take the shot, then I wanna be immune.
Like, I feel worried about those individuals that think that they can still go out and about. And when they go about and about and they come across the variant, they're asymptomatic, in my opinion, which is a little bit more dangerous than a symptomatic person.
Yeah, at least you, like, at least being symptomatic, like, you know that you have it. Asymptomatic, like, you only find out that you did have it.
Why do you think the numbers is on the rise?
Yeah.
Those same individuals that's vaccinated is going out. They don't want to talk, like, they don't want to specifically talk. They always want to blame it on, oh, they're the rollbacks, the restrictions and all of that. But they don't want to talk about which individuals are the ones that's actively going out there, the ones that are feeling confident because they have the vaccine. Common sense. Some people still quarantine and some people is not really moving about. Who's really the people moving around? Who really feeling great about themselves right now because they're vaccinated? Yo, I'm gonna reference Joe Budden's podcast. Parks is like, yo, fuck it, I'm out here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not knowing the ramifications of what he has in his body.
Mm-hmm.
That negligence, that absent-minded, oh, I got the shot, that's my immunity, boom.
Yeah.
No! You don't know if you literally just put Velcro in your blood to now hug the fuck out of a variant, nigga. So now you asymptomatic, walking around. You gonna hug your granny now,
yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, if she got the vax too, you know what I mean? Like
I said, they said that, yeah, there's no hospitalization, it's true. That don't mean people don't die in their sleep. That don't mean people die in their homes.
Yo, we not gonna really know. The thing is, all right.
We not gonna know that.
This is what I want people to understand. We're not getting out of this no sooner than 2024.
Oh, you nice.
2024.
25.
2024. You're talking about normalcy, not just going out and drinking in public.
Well, that's 5 years, right?
That's 3 years from now. 2024. Fiscally, the state is not going to recover until then. You got to understand where, you know, 2019, 2020. You're just coming off of your 2018, 2019 fiscal year, right? And then in the third quarter of 2019, 2020, shit hits the fan. Shit don't pick back up until the end of the fourth quarter. And just economically, it's like, well, yes, tech and other industries are getting money, but, you know, every state has its own bread and butter of economy.
I don't know how to handle it.
And for New York City, it's tourism. Tourism is big. The kind of offices that exist in Manhattan is big. So many people moved out.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you have to decide what is it gonna look like in 2024?
Them CEOs got the SOS about the shit.
Exactly.
Get out early.
You know, because what's gonna happen is you're really gonna find out what the vaccine does after this summer. Once everybody like feels confident and goes out and about and really goes out there and mingle, more establishments are gonna open up, be lesser on, you know, the restrictions and have more capacity. and then you're gonna have to deal with more cases going up. And then once that wave goes by, then we're gonna have to wait and see from the winter time to see if there's another mutation. Maybe it'll isolate the COVID-19, and then we'll get the B1.1.33, whatever the UK and the South African variant, will be able to study specifically how they react to vaccinated people versus non-vaccinated people. Then the next batch, this time next year, will be more accurate. Then we'll, you know what I mean? Like,
that's exactly how they have to attack it. That's, I don't think they did that in the beginning, in the trials, like the research.
Mm-hmm.
The R&D, which we all know, pharmaceuticals company, was when it comes to R&D, the percentage is small.
Mm.
This is across the board. Research and development, every sector, probably tech, maybe not. But something in science, all of these corporations and societies, American Heart Association, all those associations, about 3% of their revenue goes to R&D. Think about that. So they're just collecting donations.
Mm.
Not really doing any research in the actual disease that they're investing in. This is a capitalistic world. We just, listen, I feel like if you take care of your body, take care of your mind, you're straight. That's it. I've had COVID. It was rough. Felt like the fever and flu. You know, you get the chills, you get all of that, you get the headaches.
Yeah.
It was rough. I had every symptom except for shortness of breath, which I'm grateful for. You know, that good Mary Jane, you know what I'm saying? But I feel, ever since COVID, felt great. Now the long-term effects, we still won't even know about that because the focus is not on research and development on said issues that come across when dealing with COVID. I feel like how they're researching, they're playing catch up now. Just like how they did with the flu. They were chasing the different variants of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were able to research it the year prior.
Okay.
Because other places presented it.
Yeah.
And then they were able to jump on it and be able to develop from it. They didn't do that here. They didn't do that here. Are they doing that here? We won't know until who puts it out. CDC. Or what's his name said something about it. We need more people.
Yeah.
We need more people.
I just think all in all, you know, the creativity in terms of the incentives for the vaccine, you know, it's just getting started.
Basically telling people to sell their soul.
And, you know, we're going to see. We're just going to see. But with that said, you know, it's great to be back.
Yeah.
We've been missing for a while, but, you know, we back trying to save the city, dictate what's going on, and take ownership. I'm excited for what's to come.
Right.
Before we go, just want to, I guess, leave with this. You know, in this advocacy role, you grow as you meet like-minded individuals and find out what passions that they have. I definitely met some people and been introduced to some issues that, you know, are normally not within my wheelhouse, but definitely within interacting with these folks, you know, I get a better perspective and,
mm-hmm.
you know, get a deeper understanding of the issues. And so, in my affinity for cities and city development, I think about, you know, I just follow like what's happening. And I was listening to some information that discussed a feminist city.
Ooh.
And I could already hear like a lot of my friends, like, you know, roll their eyes and such, but in a lot of conversations,
I think that's a good question.
I'm seeing, you know, I'm trying to understand feminism a little bit better. And from my knowledge so far, they came in like different waves, and each iteration was more progressive and inclusive of women of all, you know, across the board along the spectrum. And what I want to understand more is, like, to become a better ally, how can patriarchy and feminism exist in the same breath? Like, is the entire structure of patriarchy bad and it needs to be replaced by feminism? Is there ways within patriarchy that women can achieve equality, both in household, in institutions such as work, school, equal, you know, intellectual respect, and of course, equal pay. So in this information that I was coming across and absorbed, they talked about, it was a group of city planners, engineers, architects, and lawyers, all women, discussing social aspects that they concern, about. For instance, I did not realize that there are women who probably denied job offers due to the location of the job and the times that they worked. So if, say, you live, you worked in an area that was pretty far and it caused you to get home at night, maybe the walk home is something that you constantly have to worry about because, you know, it's a long commute, so you go through a different assortment of communities. And at certain times, it's not good to ride the train at night. So something like that never came across my mind until I was listening to this. And it just gave another dimension to relate and to really see, you know, to kind of shorten the understanding gap within the feminist movement. And so they mentioned that capitalism is such a product of patriarchy and that cities are built from a patriarchal perspective, that they need to be done with a feminist view. And so in terms of unity, how can they coexist? Because the principles that lie within patriarchy tend to exemplify, you know, the type A alpha male, you know, character type.
Correct.
And the feminist perspectives, you know, sound like strong women.
Right.
And does the succession of one mean the deterioration of the other? So I share that upon you. If there's anybody that can shed some more light and understanding into how these two systems can exist, hit us up on the comments, email, reach out, let us know.
Right. You can send your questions to theanomaly_CP, and we'll touch on those questions and on those topics. And thanks for listening.
Till next time.
Yeah, what we talking about, real shit, or we talking about rhymes?